Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, ACOMS.
Well, there goes professionalism out of this show. Thanks. Oh, God, you're an idiot.
Ladies,
you're an idiot.
Shut up. God damn it. Ladies and gentlemen. You sons of bitches. Oh, you goddamn sons of bitches.
Oh, you sons of bitches.
You sons of fucking bitches.
Hey, Mike. Go, do it.
All right, come on, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. ACOM comes naturally. As always, this podcast is free. So do us a couple favors. Follow us on Twitter, like and share the Facebook page, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Cody? That's it.
At comes natural pod.
You forgot some.
I don't care. I think I covered all the bases.
No, you didn't.
You didn't.
What's the Twitter handle?
What is it?
At comes natural pod.
They know. If they search for comes naturally podcast, like they're going to
And they
find
show
us.
Like 5,000 different things.
They'll show one thing, us.
And then us.
Because we come naturally. He couldn't even say anything. Speaking of which, comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show. What used to be three friends is now me and two people who would like to stab me with very blunt objects.
Acquaintances.
Joke's on you. I've stabbed you already. You just haven't felt it yet.
First off, let's not talk about our Saturday nights. This is a professional show. Gay humor.
Wow. We're just trying to cover all the bases, Mike.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It's a baseball metaphor.
Nothing? Okay. All right. So the reason that they're no longer my friends is we did another awesome episode of Torture Theater where I asked these fine gentlemen to accompany me in viewing Wing Commander, the 1999 classic space opera featuring Freddie Prinze Jr., Matthew Lillard, some other people, that one chick that has an English accent, and that's about it that you'll know of. So, boom. We'll start with Mike. What were your impressions of this movie?
This movie was bad.
Yep, as always, a master of the English language.
Joe.
Pass.
You didn't pass out. I watched you because you cringed during the entire thing.
I fell asleep.
Well, no, that was like a major migraine that I was having at the time. Like, I don't get migraines, but this movie caused one, you know? Ugh. This movie was so awful.
How awful that was it?
It was so awful that I can't compare it to anything. I can't. That's how awful this movie was. The effects are horrible. Power Rangers had better effects than this movie.
You know what? The Power Rangers movie did actually
have better.
Better.
And it came out earlier than this movie. Because this movie was 1999. And I think the Power Rangers was 97, something like that.
The one with ooze.
Acting was absolutely shit.
You mean Bryan Singer's Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Acting was shit. The script was absolutely horrible, so the dialogue and everything in it was just absolutely crap. The physics inside of it were just nonsensical. And the
94?
4 years before.
Oh.
4 years 95. Before. Yeah.
Okay.
And it had better special effects in this movie.
That was a huge movie at the time, though, too.
It was.
Weird.
That movie was attempting to be campy. This was attempting to be serious.
Mm.
You know, they made the puppets, essentially, of the fucking Kilrathi cat things so bad that they basically hid the faces behind green lighting and shadows and shitty video cameras.
There was only one scene where you see their face for more than like a cut scene, like a quick second.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
And it was rough.
Imagine if a cat puppet fucked a pleather couch.
Yes.
And then wore a suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what the Kilrathi looked like.
Yeah.
In this movie. but moved worse and had the aim of a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of the plot of this movie.
There was a plot?
there was that thing they were talking about when you guys weren't paying attention?
Oh, no. I paid attention. I tried to pay attention to this movie as much as I possibly could. It was just bad. The plot essentially was something happened to one of the flagships of, what was the people called?
The Federation.
The Federation. Not the good Federation as in Star Trek, but the shitty one. And a small group of people, two pilots, and what you turns out to be a intelligence officer.
Commandant.
They get off the ship, and they try and find a way to reach Earth, essentially, to warn them that this giant fleet is coming. And that's essentially it. That's essentially the plot of this stupid movie.
So the Karathi steal the jump coordinates to Earth. That's the plot of the movie.
Well, yeah, that's what they're trying to get. Yeah.
So they're trying to stop them from being able to jump, so they're trying to get there before, which makes no sense whatsoever, because they have the coordinates, they should just be able to jump there.
Yeah.
But somehow they're like, we have to amass a force first, instead of taking what should be a completely unopposed surprise attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, yeah, piss poor. Like, if they would have given us a thing like, oh, it's going to take them a while to decode it, and, like, maybe it would have made a little more sense. But it's like, no, we have to hurry, because they're going to jump. And it's like, oh, except we have time to play with the starships outside and, like, not attack the bad guys who are technically attacking our homeworld. You know.
Yeah.
And then Freddie Prinze Jr. and Matthew Lillard have some... a mystery to solve with their talking dog and two girlfriends. Wait, nope.
That was
awful.
That
might be the wrong movie.
That was awful. That was totally the wrong movie.
But those movies had better special effects.
Yes, they did, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, this movie was, how do I put this politely? God awful.
And yet you love it.
I love it. It's so bad.
But this is not a good, bad movie.
It is, though.
No, really. It's not. It's a bad, bad movie.
It's not one of those ones I own, as long as Mike doesn't look behind him.
You do, too, own this.
No, I actually don't.
I'm pretty sure you do.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you do.
I don't. I promise you.
Whatever.
As far as I remember. Don't open that cabinet.
I'm afraid of a cat jumping out, so
no,
of course I'm not
going
to... No, it
wouldn't be in a cabinet. Who keeps a cat in a cabinet?
We'll not go there.
Yeah, they don't go in cabinets. Well, actually, Libby opens them on her own, and then just knocks shit out of them. But, you know, whatever.
Anyway.
Anywho, so yeah, awesome. I recommend it. It's on Netflix. You can watch it for free if you...
This is the shortest review of a movie we have ever done.
It's because it's really not worth anything. We just nailed everything that you need to know about this movie.
So what do we do for the rest of the time?
There's news to talk about.
All right, let's go.
Well, let's get to the one thing, because there is some trivia. The one thing that I...
Marry, fuck, kill. We're gonna... No, just kidding.
No. So remember...
3 stars from this movie.
The computer system, Merlin.
Oh, yeah, Merlin. It was a question mark.
At the very end, question mark.
In the credits.
In the credits. It was voiced by Mark Hamill.
Boom. Luke fucking Skywalker.
Because he did the voiceover of the same computer in the video games. This is what the whole movie was based off. In fact, the director is the director of the video games as well.
Hmm.
Should have stuck with video games.
I don't remember.
And actually, if you go back and like play Wing Commander again, which I don't recommend you do because it's awful.
They were great for the time.
Oh, for the time, yes, but like
it doesn't age well.
I could easily say this though. There's a reason this movie was awful, because that guy couldn't direct a goddamn video game.
This was one of only three films, that was released with the theatrical trailer to Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
True.
And apparently many people paid admission to see the trailer and then walked out of the movie.
Fox knows how to sell tickets, man.
Mm-hmm.
We know this thing's a train wreck. You know what we should do? that Star Wars thing in front of it. That's going to make a billion dollars. So this will too, right?
No.
Nope. You can even save it with a fucking sneak peek of Star Wars.
Speaking of Star Wars.
Yeah, buddy.
On the trailer, when Mark Hamill's talking, or Luke Skywalker is talking, he says, "The Force is strong in our family. My father has it. I have it. My sister had it." My father has it.
Yeah. Father's still alive.
Well, yeah, but like how, what like way do you think we're going to see it?
His father?
Yeah.
As a ghost?
Just a ghost, though?
Yeah. That's what I would imagine.
His father's body was burned.
No, like, I know, but...
like, it's not like...
Do you think we're gonna,
or was it?
Do you think they'll figure out some way to do to get us an on-screen shot of Darth Vader again?
Not in this movie.
No?
But in Rogue One, we will. Because that, sir, is that movie, the plot of that movie, is the heist to steal the Death Star plans. And which means it leads up to the opening of A New Hope, when the Corvette is being chased by the Death Star that or the Star Destroyer that has a Vader on it.
I don't know why that was funny. Started laughing, made me laugh.
So that movie will get Darth Vader and all its evil glory. Yes.
And he could be young, which means he could be younger. I mean, around that same time, so we actually might see a more spry Darth Vader, not just a lumbering hack at you and try to choke you with my metal arms type Vader.
Hmm.
I mean, it's not a very big difference. I mean, it's obviously like they didn't have the plans for years on end. Otherwise, it probably would have mounted an attack before then, especially before it was operational.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays with being able to do special effects, you may be able to see a Vader that's a little more taking out people.
Like,
not just...
like Yoda flipping around like
crazy. No, well, right. not that spry. Because again, it's, you know, the summer of 69, not, you know, 20 years later.
Brian Adams.
Canadian folk. But yeah, that's exciting. And then, did you see the other announcement for episode 9?
No.
The helmer of Jurassic World.
Is directing it. Yeah.
Yeah. All sorts of big news coming out of D23 this past weekend, like the
they showed clips edition. Of it.
Well, yeah, they saw clips, but the poster, the limited edition Drew Struzan poster that they gave away there, showed what people thought freaked out about was spoiler, like Finn has a lightsaber. If you ever paid attention to early interviews with everybody, he has a very large fight scene with Adam Driver's character. Was Kylo Ren, the Sith Lord you see in this movie. Well, Kylo Ren is the name they give him, but if rumors are true, none of the names we know of so far are actually the names of the characters, because they're trying to keep them hidden so you don't know who's who.
Mm.
But Finn, played by John Boyega, has a lightsaber in the poster, which means he is a Jedi. And people are like, oh, that must be who Luke's talking to in the trailer. Well, first off, no, because you see a hand hand it to a young... what looks effeminate hand, and then she holds a lightsaber, and you can clearly see that it's Luke's lightsaber. So, which means that would have to be someone who's a white woman, like the girl that's in it. Eh. But in the early interviews, it was said that John Boyega and Adam Driver had a very large choreographed fight scene together. And I don't know if you, about you, but I don't know if a stormtrooper could ever fight against a Sith Lord and without a lightsaber and be okay with it. You know what I mean? Plus, I don't think he's actually a stormtrooper. I think he's in high, like, that's why, like, he's like in disguise.
You mean Luke and Han?
Yeah,
weren't
definitely.
Stormtroopers?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Yeah, they weren't
they were just
at all.
In disguise.
Yeah,
that's weird. Internet, how that could happen?
Strange, right? But yeah, I mean, there's lots of rumors of what who's who. The fact that the girl that's in it, Ren, I think they name her in the so far. Rumors are that's Leia and Han's daughter. Which is the reason she has the Force as well, because handed down from Leia. There's still rumors that Finn, John Boyega's character, is the descendant of Mace Windu, of a secret marriage and secret love child that he had outside the knowledge of the other Jedi, which would be really weird because he'd be super old, because he was older than Anakin, and Anakin had twins who are now old, so it would have to be his grandson, the best. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Come on now. There's also rumors that John Boyega is Han Solo's bastard son from his, or not bastard son, but first son from his first marriage, which if you go to the comic book series that's running right now, that is supposed to be in canon, Han Solo was married before to a young black lady.
Mm-hmm.
They had a kid together. He would also be the black. So John Boyega could be Han Solo's son.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
It'd be nuts, right? But then how would you explain the Force? Because I don't think, if I remember reading that correctly, she didn't use the Force. Mm. So I'm just saying.
Han Solo secretly has the Force.
He's a pretty good pilot, so.
Right? He is.
He had a little bit of it, didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm. One or two midichlorians.
Oh, God. Why'd you bring it up? Ow!
Yeah, that's what you get.
He kicked me in the knee.
That was rough.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Speaking of which, when are we doing our Star Wars episode?
When
are we going to start them?
So I think we should do the 6 weeks leading up to the movie.
1 week?
We should do 1 a week. So we'll do, what, we do basically 6 weeks out. So seven weeks out, I should say. I guess we could watch episode 6 right before we go see it that weekend.
Yeah, we could.
Because we're not going to record. We're not going to be able to record until the following week. So yeah, I guess 6 weeks out. So the 6th week would be the week of the movie release.
Are we watching them in release order? Or
no, we'll watch them in chronological order.
Okay.
Movie chronological, yeah, not actual chronological, because then we're all fucked up. So that'll be, be perfect because it'll be right after we go to Denver.
Yeah.
Yay.
Mike's very happy about doing
Mike,
that.
Mike's
he's actually.
I don't mind going at all. I just know I won't be able to. So.
But you've been planning this for so long, Mike.
You've been planning this for so long.
Yeah.
What else is news?
Let's see.
More light was shined on the Josh Trank thing.
Oh, a lot more light. As a fact, the original script was actually posted online.
Mm-hmm.
Drastically different. What a shocker. Let's see. They actually went to the negative zone where Galactus presided. Let's see. Doom was the new herald. The final fight took place on Earth in Latveria. Sue had a huge character development, and one of the things that Joe wanted is an actual explanation of how Reed and Ben became friends, because it actually showed it.
Showed a more in-depth.
Yeah, it actually showed
instead
it.
Instead of literally one scene.
My family's.
We're going to cut it away 7 years ahead, science scene, and then cut it away ahead to the whatchamacallit place.
Baxter Building.
And then you never see Ben again until like 30, 40 minutes later into the movie. Yeah.
Yep.
So it sounds like the original script would have been better.
I heard more about Trank like losing his shit on set too.
Well, that was after the fact because that was actually during shooting where this script was out the window before anything started, because that's when they brought Simon Kinberg in to help with the script. Those air quotes for the people who aren't in the room. And he's the one that basically wrote the version we saw on screen. And they said the reasoning behind the change in script and the bringing of a different writer or screenwriter was the fact that that movie would cost too much money and take too long to shoot. So in Fox fashion, they decided, hey, we're just going to take what you already made and we're going to make our adjustments with one of our guys and we'll get it under budget and on time. And so all the rewrites they had to do to Josh's original plan probably made him kind of mad and a little bit spacey on certain things, which made for just a bad turmoil in general. Which at that point, I think we said last time, you should just fire him too.
Yeah.
And get someone else. I mean, because obviously that partnership is not doing so well. He's upset. And instead of just saying, hey, you know, we know you signed on to make this version of it.
We've decided to go this other direction.
So we're going to get someone else for it. But instead, they kept him around. I mean, he could have quit too, but I mean, realize breach of contract probably means he would have owed some money. So he tried to stick it out and obviously didn't enjoy it. And when you force a creative person into something that's not their version or their creative path, they're going to resist. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Do you guys ever see Trank's first thing he did, the video he posted on YouTube?
No.
I don't think I've watched it.
It's called Stabbing at Leia's 21st Birthday.
Yeah, the short film or whatever.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It starts off like cell phone footage almost. So like almost. A found film. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's going through a party, and it just seems to be this house party thing, and everything's like cool, and then there's a fight in the background, and they break it up, and then just like a little bit later, it cuts to a guy being like, "Nah, he comes back here, I'm gonna kick his fucking ass," blah blah blah, and he's yelling, and then it cuts to the other dude that was in the fight, and they're saying something. All of a sudden, in the background, you see a guy with his hand up to his temple and reaching his hand out, and you're like, "What the fuck is he doing?" And the camera pans over, and you see a lightsaber shaking. And then the lightsaber takes off, and he grabs it, and it's a lightsaber, and he stabs this dude with it. And the police come, and it's two stormtroopers, and they lock him up and take him away. I was like, that's pretty hilarious, dude.
It's pretty awesome. We'll have to watch that after this.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
It's like Star Wars cops.
I think he made it for like it cost him like $70 to do it, because he just. Like, and that's counting like the money for the beer he bought for so people could show up, so it made it look like a house party.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Joe, anything else? Cody.
There's other stuff.
What is it?
Sorry,
trying to think of some other stuff.
I can't think of anything else. We started with
that horseshit movie that you wanted to watch.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
Super bad. Not even good, super bad. Yeah. Honestly, that movie for me was so bad.
You guys watched Man from U.N.C.L.E. this week. How was that?
Oh, that movie was fantastic.
Give us the lowdown on that one.
It was awesome.
And?
I heard a lot of online complaints that it was like kind of boring.
Fuck those people.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Oh no, we have to worry about plot and characters. Oh god.
Yeah.
Welcome to a Guy Ritchie movie where there's actual fucking writing. And douchebags.
Awesome writing.
Super funny. The action scenes are amazing. It was shot really well. Beautifully shot. Plus, it reminds me of a lot of his older movies. Not to sound like a fucking douche, but like Lock, Sock, Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, like those ones, because of the crazy like scene transitions and like the overlay of stuff and just like the absurdity of it. I do want to talk about the stupid review that I read on Monday night or Tuesday
whatever
morning,
night
whatever
was,
day.
The guy who just didn't understand it.
So this dude wrote a scathing review how bad this movie was.
Critic or normal person?
Normal person. Come on now. I mean, a critic would never say what I'm about to tell you out loud or put on the internet for people to completely destroy him. There's a subreddit out there called, air quotes, professional movie reviews. And it's basically where people go through the internet, find them, and they post them on this subreddit, and then you can just make fun of them. People who spell stuff wrong, use horrible grammar, incite movies, like talk about, this is another Godfather, and they're talking about, like, Muppets Go to Space or whatever, you know? Those kind of things. This guy said, to shorten it up, not tell you the whole thing, is he said that the movie was unbelievable because back then they didn't have things like dune buggies and motorcycles for recreational use.
Let that sink in for a second.
Mind you, this is a post-World War II movie, as in just after part of Cold War movie. So
yeah.
Late 60s, early 70s, I think it was 70s, I think is what it was, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So, that's stupid.
Yeah.
If I could be polite. And then my favorite part was, he talked about how, like, that didn't exist, and the fact that, like, the wireless or the basic signal capability that the missiles had, spoiler here, didn't exist back then. You couldn't radio a location of something. Yeah. I was like, oh, you mean radar that we've had for a while? Okay. But my favorite thing he didn't point out that is glaringly obvious is the fact that a Russian spy, A, was able to put a ring on someone's finger that wirelessly transmitted audio almost perfectly.
Yeah.
A good 100 yards, like a good couple 100 yards.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Like a microphone, like if you were to wear a mic back then to do surveillance, you'd have a battery pack the size of most laptops burning a hole through your back. Mm. And a wire that's about as thick as a garden hose running up your shirt to a fake flower or something to be on your shirt. And she has a ring on her finger that is wirelessly somehow powered, sending audio across this fucking compound. I was like, well, there's a glaring problem if you want to bring up anything. But also the fact that, like, you know, that shit didn't exist. Whatever. But doom buggies and motorcycles, that's an issue. Because those did exist. Those
weren't recreational, you know. Yeah.
You know, no one had dune buggies or motorcycles back then.
Even though a lot of soldiers from World War II came back and, you know, bought or built their own motorcycles and started motorcycle races and stuff
like that. What's that motorcycle company that was featured in Captain America, which, by the way, took place in World War II?
Harley Davidson?
Oh, yeah. They're a new company, right?
Yeah.
Since they celebrated like, their 150th anniversary or something stupid like that. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Ugh. So the internet, as always, supplies us with some stupidity. But his whole review is like, he's talking about how Guy Ritchie in his third movie did a really good job. Yeah, I said third movie. And that he kind of wished that Robert Downey Jr., well, not done, were also to be in this movie because he was awesome as Professor Sherlock Holmes.
Professor Sherlock Holmes?
Yep.
He wasn't a professor.
Oh, sure he was. He said in the review.
This review is fake then, right? Like, this is somebody messing with people?
Nope.
Nah, I'm giving the dude credit. I think he's smart enough to know that he's fucking with people. That's got to be it.
He did a very good job because he was getting lit up on the Reddit. Yeah, it was fantastic. Third movie, by the way. Third movie in Guy Ritchie's career.
Because it would have been Sherlock Holmes. And then
No, not even close.
And then this one, that's his third movie.
First two Sherlock Holmes. Because
it's all he's done, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
You know.
Besides those other movies that he didn't
do, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or
Snatch
or
Rock and Rolla.
No, he didn't do any of those.
Nope.
He had no involvement in any of
those. What's your favorite Guy Ritchie movie?
Rock and Rolla.
That one's pretty good.
I love that movie.
Joseph.
I really liked this movie.
It was really good.
It was going to
save Armie Hammer's career.
Oh, he's fantastic.
It might, yeah.
Because he was.
He chose a lot of. His career started really well because he was in Social Network. He was
the twins.
He played the twins, which I still don't understand why he needed one person.
He was, people forget, but he was actually cast as Batman for the doomed Justice League movie.
He was.
And so you're like, oh, because I think that actually a younger Batman, I thought that's a good pick.
Well, because they were going younger with everybody at that point.
I was all like, I was excited about that. Then that movie kind of fell apart. And then he got the Lone Ranger. Which could have been good if whoever wrote and made this movie knew what the Lone Ranger was.
I mean, Disney?
Yeah. Because they basically made a 3-hour-long...
shitfest?
I told you guys it would be.
No, you were upset because...
Yeah, you were upset for reasons.
Johnny Depp was playing Tonto.
Was playing an Indian.
But I also just knew that movie would be shit. I told you guys.
No, you said that. When the casting was announced, like you didn't even see any footage or
no, because I knew that movie was gonna be shit.
You're so dumb.
You're dumb. Okay. Won the argument,
Yeah.
Fuck your face. But yeah.
Of the movies he was in, well, I mean, I'm not going to count Entourage because he played himself. He was in Mirror Mirror. I never saw it, but that movie was garbage from everything I heard. He was in J. Edgar. He played Jagger's lover. Because it was always he was always thought of to be a little bit of the
softer side,
softer persuasion. Obviously, Social Network. He did a bunch of movies before that I've never actually heard of before. Oh, Flicka. But
that his
role,
one?
Yeah, his role was male perfect. So I'm thinking he wasn't a very large part of that movie. Then something called The Polar Bears.
Is that a Coca-Cola movie?
Yeah. I don't know. He played Zook.
That's funny.
He has two more movies next year. He's filming right now. I don't know how he's filming two movies at the same time, but the movies are filming. The Birth of a Nation and Free Fire.
Ooh.
Yeah. He did some TV shows, some stuff. You know, whatever.
But it did look like Lone Ranger was about to murder his career.
So. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was like...
Because like, Johnny Depp can recover from that.
Johnny Depp has recovered from many things that are awful. Mm-hmm. Anybody who made the movie Crybaby and still is making movies today has rebounded.
That movie's god-awful, but that was so early on in his career.
Where's Ricky Lake at?
She had a career after that.
Yeah, talk shows.
Still.
And
money. Paychecks, something. Son.
Well, so does he, technically. Yeah.
It is weird that Ricky Lake was an actress, huh?
Yeah. Because you don't think of her as one.
It's true.
No. What was her like, not Hairspray.
Hairspray, yeah.
Was it Hairspray?
Mm-hmm. Not the John Travolta one. Like the OG.
The original one.
Yeah. With the, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. What was I gonna say? The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Very well written. If anyone tells you they guessed the ending, they're lying to you.
Yeah,
because they do a very. I mean, there's one point where they blatantly tell you something's going on that goes against what you thought was happening. But if you guessed what it was, you'd be incorrect. Because what I guessed was. Not right, but I'm not gonna tell you what it is.
I was just long for the ride.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was good times.
It was so, I mean, like seeing the trailers, it looked like it was gonna be funny, but I didn't realize how funny it would be just right from the get-go when they're on that high-speed chase through Berlin. Just hilarious how what's his name's character is just
Henry Cavill's
character is
Napoleon
just
Solo
directing her through the streets and trying to avoid
while sitting back in the car, not seeing where they're at, just using a map and
yeah,
you know, being awesome at it.
They end the chase getting stuck in a an alleyway
and being part of his plan.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, here's absolutely one Mike fantastic. Can talk about. Hateful Eight trailer.
Yeah.
That okay, good talk.
It's a weird cast, man.
It is.
But it's a Quentin Tarantino cast.
Yeah, which
for sure
should be weird. Yeah, it's all repeat Tarantino guys, right? For the most part.
Yeah, what's his name? The dude that played in Walter Scoggins is I'm pretty sure he's new to because I don't think he was. He was in Django. That's right. He was the dude that wanted to cut off Jamie Foxx's balls. That's right.
So yeah, all repeat cast members. It looks like, except for maybe the chick. I'm not sure.
There's
a lot of facial hair in that trailer.
Jason Lee, she ever do a Quentin Tarantino? That's a good question. I'll look that up while you guys talk.
A lot of facial hair in the trailer.
Oh, lots. But
tons of mustache hair.
That goes towards that time. That
I think they might have overdone it.
No, I don't think so. It's a Tarantino film. He takes everything.
That's like saying there's too many cuss words in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Exactly.
Really?
He takes everything that would normally happen and just embellishes it a little bit.
That's true.
Yeah.
I do like Tarantino's style of filmmaking. Like, he makes a movie and then he makes another one of the same genre right after it. Like, that's kind of interesting to me. Because he's talked about it before. Like, after he does the first one, he knows how to make it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we got... Well, it's not why. It was always a plan to do two volumes of Kill Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he was looking forward to doing the second one because he kind of worked out all the kinks. So he did Django, which is a Western movie, and then he goes right into another Western movie because you could tell, like, he worked out some of the kinks and wanted to get back into it. This is supposedly his last movie.
Yeah.
But I call shenanigans on that.
You think that he's going to come back for more?
Yeah.
I don't think
so. Too young.
Really?
Too young to just walk away from making movies, dude.
I think he's done.
I think he could take 10 years off, come back, and...
I don't think he will. He'll probably go into producing and stuff like that.
He produces the shit out of everything anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm sure at some point another story is going to come up that he wants to tell and put a Tarantino twist on it.
Maybe.
I'm calling it right now. He comes back, directs another movie after this. For sure. Guaranteed. Cody?
I just want to know how everything connects. Because obviously his movies are all supposed to take place in the same universe.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see, is how everything connects.
Maybe that's his last movie.
I think this is her first with him. I don't see her on the list, and I don't see anything. Not that I buzzed through her list of movies real quick. I didn't see anything that had her in it, at least. Not that I noticed.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
You think he's coming back to make another movie after this?
I certainly hope so. I hope this one does. The only problem with this is if this was his first Western and it did really well, like Django did, you could see him coming back. But like, remember, you got to remember, this movie almost didn't happen because the script got leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And Tarantino's super secrecy about everything, like J.J. Abrams, well, not as J.J. Abrams, because that dude's like CIA secretist.
Yeah, but he's got Disney behind him now.
Now, so but before, I mean,
yeah.
Star Trek, shit, that shit was pretty much, I mean, people guess some things, but not a lot of things. But yeah, hopefully he just has that, maybe that Kevin Smith thing where it just kind of, he does take a little while off of making something and then just bubbles to the top and just can't fucking handle it anymore. I mean, he doesn't smoke nearly as much weed as Kevin Smith, as maybe we know, but I mean, he could just always be just fucking walking around with a bong over his head. But I just hope he just gets the creative one. I mean, he's not going to give up the producing. He's got his film festival. He's got his production company.
He's always trying to find new directors to
so hopefully he
stamp that Tarantino Presents.
Yeah, so hopefully he
does a lot, so
he'll find something to be like, oh, I could do that, or I haven't done this. I mean, there's some stuff he hasn't done. But I mean, there's some stuff he may not be interested in as well. Cause I can't imagine him being like a sci-fi type thing just cause it's not the way his brain seems to work.
Mm.
But I mean, cause he's a very practical person in a way. Like, I mean, I say that he was in a vampire movie, but he didn't direct a vampire movie. But I mean, I would hope it's not the end. I really wish he would cap his career off with like a heist type movie again, because he did so well with them. I mean, he did a bunch of them, obviously, The Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown. So I mean, he did
forget,
a bunch.
I always forget about Jackie Brown.
Everyone does.
Good too.
Which is one of his best movies, really.
Best Tarantino movie?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
It's Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill. I put him as one, and then Jackie Brown are the top three for me.
Really? Yep. Reservoir Dogs isn't even cracked the top three.
Nope, sorry.
Is it number four?
Probably, yeah.
Reservoir Dogs is dope.
Yeah. It's very clever.
I think it benefited me to watch Reservoir Dogs after I knew who Tarantino was. So I kind of got his filmmaking style a little bit. So I think it helped me enjoy it more. I think if you watch it when it first came, because that was his first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think people knew
what a Tarantino movie was,
you know?
And I mean, at the point, he didn't even know, really.
Yeah, but...
Joe is in deep thought.
Well, I'm just trying to think, because, like, for me, Django Unchained was one of my favorites of his.
It's a great movie, but it's not one of my favorites.
And then, I mean, Pulp Fiction was good for
worst,
me, but...
I mean, his worst Tarantino movie.
Death Proof.
Yeah, that I can agree on.
I mean, it was fun, but it's not. It's if when you think Quentin Tarantino, it's not what you mm-hmm. not no. what I think when I think.
What was the other one that came out with that?
Planet Terror.
Planet Terror.
I love that one because that one was just stupid, ridiculous. Like when Tarantino's balls drip off.
Oh yeah. Remember the trailers?
I also loved Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah. Well, the fake trailer turned into real movies.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds is a fantastic movie, but I do like that one, and that I would think that might top off my, I don't know, may top off my top five. Just because Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown are so similar to each other, like they feel like, I mean, obviously, same world as we were talking about, but like they feel like they're companion movies in a way. Like Jackie Brown led to the events, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like. I would almost believe that Jackie Brown had a kid or a younger brother or something that turned into Marcellus Wallace, you know, that type of thing. Huh. Just because he was an asshole as well. She wasn't, I mean, all of his movies, the perpetrators or the good guys are very closely aligned with, you know, because a lot of them are revenge movies.
Yeah.
In a way. And no one's a good guy in it. I mean, except for Julius. Jerk too. But it's, I mean, that's the kind of world he delves in, you know. Come to think of it, other than Inglourious Basterds, all of his protagonists are kind of scumbags, right?
Yeah.
You can even include some of the guys from Inglourious Basterds as scumbags.
Yeah,
too.
But I mean,
they're good scumbags because it's a World War II film and they're trying to kill Hitler. But the way they go about doing
considered. But you remember they're all Jewish, so they're kind of like it's the revenge portion of it still, and so they change to be worse than they are, but they're not really that bad of guys. Eventually, they get to like it a little too much.
Yeah.
I think Inglourious Basterds really, because even like the girl, she's good. She's just going over revenge.
Django Unchained doesn't really fall into that either.
Oh, I mean, Django kind of is, but I mean, really.
But again, it's mostly revenge.
Yeah, I mean, Christoph Waltz is a fucking, he's a goddamn mercenary, essentially. Yeah. So, I mean, he's not really a good person. He's doing it for money. So it's like, if he was doing it like, oh, my family was murdered, so I'm going to go about my ways and I was really good at it, so I'm going to keep doing it, then maybe borderline good turned into bad. But for the most part, I mean, even Kill Bill, the bride. She was a killer.
Used to be a bad person. Straight up.
Reservoir Dogs, even, I mean, really the only good guy in that was essentially a bad cop.
Yeah.
So, Bruce Willis was a cheating boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all scumbags. I like it.
Different degrees.
Oh, it's got varying different degrees, yes. I'm not saying they're all the same. Yeah.
Any other news this week? I think it was actually a pretty slow week.
Yeah.
For news. Was. Yeah.
I mean, Disney released a bunch of stuff.
But still, like, we
slates of stuff. But
yeah.
But we're so far off. So like, Toy Story 4.
Yeah. Being a romance, by the way, between Woody and Bo Peep.
If anyone can pull it off, whatever. It's the people who make Toy Story.
They did show a poster for Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
Which is just...
I can't believe it's taken this long. I'll make Incredibles 2. But they're all adults now. They all gotta be like...
I mean, it could just take place right afterwards.
Nah, they're all gonna be adults now.
Oh, Morloids. That was the other crazy shock the original script from Slater for Fantastic Four. Morloids.
Really?
They had a scene that paid homage to the very first Fantastic Four comic with the Morloid coming up in New York and them fighting it. Yeah, that was gonna be in the movie.
Just imagine... Because reading through this, we were reading through it last night when we were over at Wings. It was essentially three movies into one movie because the way Cody was describing it is that you had the origin story still. So you had more of the beginning of the movie, even though what you see in the beginning of the movie was mostly what was in Frank's version.
Because the first part, not to cut you off, the first part when they're kids is actually done as a flashback in the original script. So it does. That is the beginning, but it starts off already at the Baxter Building, and then they tell you. I mean, we don't know what it was. I didn't read it. I can't find it online, so trying to find it so I can read it. But it jumps back to a flashback to show you Ben. So something goes on where like they question who Ben is, and then they jump back, show you this the origin of Ben and Reed's relationship to going to the Baxter building, mm-hmm. and then boom from there. Plus, I guess there's like a big action scene that was cut that involved the thing too. Shocker, it was cut out. Weird.
Right. Too much money.
Yeah.
Should have put him in a latex suit then.
Ugh. I hate you so much.
Anyway, so then you have the battle with the Moloids in New York City, I believe it was said.
Yeah, could have been pretty dope.
Right? If Jen done correctly.
Moloid when I got? Oh, God, yeah. Dude.
And then you had it moves into a battle with Galactus and Doom.
Is Galactus actually Doom?
Galactus was in it.
He was in it, but...
Like, he was in it, but it was like when they were in the negative zone. Kind of and he basically... So the same thing happens. They use the gate. They go the quantum gate. They go to the negative zone, which is basically where Galactus is. You know, we don't know why Galactus is there, but he's there. He is the destroyer still, so he eats planets. Doom gets left behind, and Galactus sees that you know there's evil and hate in him, and he basically turns him into his herald, so giving him those cosmic powers that he shouldn't technically have had. At all, but like there is gives you a reason why he had him versus just being eaten up by the planet, you know. And then he is sent as the Herald back to Earth to prepare Earth for Doom for Galactus' arrival because that is his next meal or
would have been
his next meal,
yeah.
But Doom then says, hey, fuck this, I have all his powers, I'm gonna take this planet for myself. And I guess they basically battle him because he stopped Galactus from coming through or whatever. Which means it would lead you to like a sequel or a, you know the third one down the line when Galactus finally makes it there,
mm-hmm.
And then there's a big battle in the Varia between the Fantastic Four and Doom and the new Doom. So yeah, there's a lot. Moloids was just like fucking.
Imagine all of that in one movie.
Yeah, and that's why it was 140 something minutes long originally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus, it was 121 pages of a script.
Pretty long script.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a fucking Kevin Smith first draft.
Right? Yeah, right? Before he cuts it all up and says, oh, what? I have monologues from way too many people in this movie. Only 8 to 10 monologues each, motherfuckers. That's my impression of Kevin Smith saying it.
Yeah, that should start off with, only 8 to 10.
Chucky!
Slowly turns into Christopher Walken.
Fuck you both. Grace!
He's doing Christopher Walken impressions again. People don't listen to Kevin Smith podcast. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
For you, though.
Uh-oh.
He's pointing at Joe. Thanks for the description. But Neil Blomkamp's Alien 5 is being delayed.
Fuck, why?
Prometheus 2. Ridley Scott, who is producing... the fifth Aliens movie. Again, we don't know if it's Alien 5, that's what everyone's calling it, but Neil Blomkamp's Aliens
it's
movie.
Called Alien 3, what it's going to be end up calling.
Or Aliens or...
Aliensier.
with a vengeance.
With a vengeance.
They want to release Prometheus 2 first, because I'm guessing it's somehow going to be a conjoined...
I'm okay universe. With that, especially if it does end up being conjoined. Like if they suddenly got together and were like, "Hey, Fox said okay that you can go do this, and we're already doing this. You know, why don't we just?" Because the Prometheus is kind of more of like a reboot of the whole entire mythos of Aliens, and that's kind of the way when you looked at the concept art.
The right way to say that.
You don't believe it is?
No, a reboot to the whole Alien?
It's in a way a reboot.
It's in a way. Because even Ridley Scott himself had said that it takes a lot of the cues from Alien, but it kind of exists in its own thing. So it's kind of a reboot.
Well, I thought that was the point for the second one, was kind of be a closer bridge from Prometheus to Alien.
Well, because if you look at the details between Prometheus and Alien, they're on the same planet. Obviously... drastically different because it's never really daylight there, so it could be on a different... I mean, it doesn't have to turn like Earth, so it doesn't have a day, whatever. But there's a wrecked ship that has the eggs in it, which we saw in Prometheus. They had the whole room full of them. They just weren't covered in the shit yet, like it was an Alien. They find the alien pilot. John Hurt gets the fucking facehugger on his mask, and it eventually goes through and onto his face. The alien looks different, but then you could look at it and say, hey, that gestated inside a human, where this other one gestated inside of one of the...
Prometheans.
Yeah, but you can't... What, it's called, what are they called again? I know it's a space jockey, but they had a name for him. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you mean an actual, like, pilot of the...
Yeah, like, they called him something, and I can't remember what they're called. But anyways, so the xenomorph would look different, because if you know the lore or mythos of the xenomorphs, is they take on the form of whatever else they come across. So,
they can better adapt to the surroundings.
Yeah. And so they show you that in Prometheus, because the first little thing attacks as they evolve. They kind of change a little bit. And then even the one that, like, gets inside the one dude looks different. Mm-hmm. So it would come out on the other side differently, too, because it's not a facehugger in the way we have it. And, of course, a giant fucking facehugger that came out of her was implanted just by one of the little things. So it's kind of more of like a, hey, this is what it's going to look like type thing, which is horrifying because, good Lord, the thing was ginormous.
Oh, yeah. It grew quick.
Yeah, and bad news, you know what I mean? So, and obviously, we haven't seen a queen because we have in Aliens, but not in Prometheus realm. So that could be just it went this way, and Prometheus 2 could go this, is still going this way. So whatever the events here somehow lead to then joining Aliens and
these other ones. The original reports was really Scott said the new Alien movie wasn't going to have anything to do with his Prometheus movie.
Well, that's before he got on board to produce it.
Exactly, though. Yeah. So now that I kind of like the idea that now they've been forced to kind of work, I don't know, forced, but they've worked together now. They must have obviously had conversations. Yeah. So that tells me that Ridley Scott heard what the ideals were and said, yeah, we could make that work and we could tie it all into our shit too and make it this cool, massive.
And that's what I want to see. That's... Hearing that those two working together.
Imagine but think about it. If you think about, not to cut you guys off, but if you think about, like, because of the gap that formed between Prometheus and in the timeline of Alien and Aliens and the other ones, they don't have to be different universes. They could just be different events because the ship, when she took off in the ship with Michael Fassbender's character, obviously the Whalen group is out of touch with that. So they're still doing their own thing because Waylon's dead, obviously. Yeah. Spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen Prometheus. So they're still trying to struggle with this, you know, and still building the Clone Marines and all that fun stuff and the different civilizations and the universe, the portion of the universe, the timeline we know Aliens take place in. And then Prometheus can come up here, still the same timeline, but has its own events because she's backtracking to where the aliens the space jockeys came from. So she's going that way, and basically they're just saying that, hey, it's an expanded universe. It's bigger than what just Aliens is. There's other things, and we can tell stories from. So Prometheus 2 would tell further stories of the space jockeys versus the Colonel Marine timeline.
But it'll be interesting to see then Neil Blomkamp says, because Sigourney Weaver was supposed to make a comeback as Ripley.
What's his name too?
The guy who did Hicks.
Yeah.
So it, just from that right there, it kind of wipes away 3 and 4.
It's fine. Yeah.
Which is perfect.
Which is fine. 100%
great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're not good movies.
Yeah.
At all. So yeah, I'm down. I mean, obviously, the script has to take a place many moons later because Sigourney Weaver is, I'm not gonna say drastically older than she was in Aliens. But she's older, more seasoned, if you want. Yeah.
But
so
that's
obviously,
fine though, because the whole thing, even when Sigourney Weaver was traveling from place to place, took like hundreds of years, right?
They had to go into stasis, so it was a very long time.
From 1 to 2, it was 57 years, right?
Yeah, it was a really ridiculously long time because her daughter actually grew old, had a kid, and died.
Yeah.
So and I know them being in stasis would counteract aging effects, but the whole idea of that though is these events take place along, like, they're very separated from each other. So there were other things that could probably happen, and they can circle back around. And it has been, you could say 25 years, 30 years since she's done.
Well, yeah, because you know what I mean? The events of Prometheus 2. Like
them coming back to try to seek, you know, information or knowledge on what had happened or something like that. But you could use them.
Well, yeah, because Prometheus 2, the ripples from whatever happens in that, obviously there's a reason they want to make that first. That could ripple into the events that led to Aliens 5. I mean, obviously.
Wouldn't it be crazy if Prometheus 2 ended with a young Sigourney Weaver?
Because of Aliens, Prometheus technically would be 3. Prometheus 2 would be 4. And so that would be 5. So you could still technically call it Aliens 5, but they're not going to. Because people go, you can't have 2 twos, and there's not a 2 because it's called Aliens, which still confuses most people because they're dumb.
Yeah, you're dumb, people.
Still people don't understand. Why is it called Aliens?
Because there's more than one.
There's more than one. And B, the first one only had one.
Movie. Yeah.
It's a very different movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think it'd be, I'm sure they wouldn't do this, but I think it'd be kind of cool, like an after credit scene, or even just the end of Prometheus 2, depending on where they're at with the story. If it ended with a young Sigourney Weaver getting on to a ship.
The Nostromo. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so awesome. They're so good at the digital young face now.
But they could just do it, and it would be really quick, and you didn't even have to do it like face up.
They could just say her name and show her from the back, walking in.
Yeah. Oh. And it just says like Nostromo
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking awesome.
That would be awesome.
The movie could probably suck, and it'd be like, that's awesome.
I don't think the movie will suck, though. Like, even if
Neil
the movie
hasn't
sucks,
let us down yet.
Exactly.
So as long as they don't fucking, butt heads and try to take over. At that point, I think he's the kind of guy who's just going to be like,
I'm out.
Yeah. He's not going to Josh Trank it.
Try to fight it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen these other movies that I've done. They're actually successful. I'm just going to go do my own shit now again. Yeah.
I'm going to go make more millions of dollars without you.
I'm going to go make a Halo movie.
Exactly.
Sad face.
Right? All those awesome shorts that we saw.
It's true. In the series.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched Nightfall.
But Neil Blomkamp didn't have anything to do with the series. He just did the shorts.
Yeah, shorts.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, I just thought of this. If he does really good with Alien, and maybe wants to do something in between that kind of falls in his realm, he could do a reboot of Starship Troopers.
Yeah, he could do
make
that.
Make it super fucked up like the book was.
He could do that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I want to make a Running Man. I don't know why, but that's always been in the back of my head, him remaking Running Man more like the book.
Because who would you have as Running Man, as the actual Schwarzenegger's character?
In the book, he's drastically different than the human fucking muscle wall that Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
Yeah.
But see, that's the problem with those movies getting made. Like, that's why everyone ripped the new Total Recall.
Because Colin Farrell wasn't...
He's not Schwarzenegger. Well, of course he's not fucking Schwarzenegger.
He's also not supposed
to be Schwarzenegger. That's why they didn't go and get a muscle-bound fucking freak, like some meathead, you know what I mean? Like, they purposely went a different direction with that character.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
And it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was. It was cool. The hand cell phone thing that he disgustingly ripped out and gave to that kid. Oh, he gave it to me. You know they shot that kid. I think it's really it.
Yeah.
Oh, watch the special features on Mad Max. They're dope.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're dope.
Extended
90 minutes
like...
of special features. But it shows you like behind the scenes, and it's cool because it's from George Miller, Charlize Theron, and Tom Hardy, which is weird to see Tom Hardy talk because he doesn't really in the movie. He has more lines in the special features than he does in all the movie. But it's really cool because they talk about it, but then you see exactly how they shot it, and then you slowly realize how much CG actually was in that movie.
Oh no, I saw those pictures.
You don't like. I saw those pictures and I saw the video that Freddie Wong made for Rocket Jump Film School, the new project he's doing, the guys that make Video Game High School and everything. I saw that, and that's what made me really want to watch him. Yeah, you don't understand how much green, like, not even green screen work, just CG work goes into it, because they're in the middle of, like, this flat wasteland desert, and all of a sudden you see the CG, and it's, like, mountains and shit. I was like, oh, none of that was real.
No, yeah, like, that whole the beginning sequence where they're showing that the two giant plateaus and the water coming nothing. Down, all that like you would have thought at least that the plateaus were real, that parts they of them. Found somewhere. Yep.
Nope,
and those looked real. Nope, that was all CG.
Yeah,
the whole entire thing.
Like I was like,
the people were all CG.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck, man? Like.
Only a few of them when they did like the close-ups of the crowd. I literally think
there's
a cast
of like 37 people, and they recycled them a bunch of times.
No, it seriously was, because even as they're because I saw another one that was like they showed the actual film, and there's like five actual people standing in the desert, and then they showed the movie, and it's just a crowd of people, and you're like, all those people were digital? Why? But it worked. It was awesome. It fooled me. Even the a lot of the car chase scenes. It really looked, and especially hearing that that everything was more practical effects. So when you see, like, you know, the giant cavalcade of cars driving through the desert, I could have swore those were all filmed at the same time. But then you find out, like, when they were doing the bigger explosions and stunts, they only filmed that car that was blowing up, and then they filmed the other cars right around it, and then they just put it together.
That's fucking nuts, man. Yeah. Because you see these long shots, and, like, you're like, in the movie, you see, like, the big tanker truck, and then, like, the other ones.
The good point, though, is that it's still real vehicles going through.
No, it is. You know it's just that it's more trickery thinking that.
Because when you look at it, like, there's this big, like you said, big cavalcade of the things, and then you realize when they shot it filming, it was, like, four cars, a car, two cars. I was like, what the fuck? Like, dang. I would hate to be that editor because I'd be like, I don't remember where car was in what order. Where's my cheat sheet? There's pages flying by. This motherfucker. Stupid thousand car bullshit.
Bullshit.
Somehow had to make them the same size when they're supposed to be.
And then the big drum thing was all CG as well. Well, most of it was CG.
Yeah. They shot them on a soundstage and then put it into the real world, air quotes. Yeah, it was nuts. Like, I mean, granted, watch the movie, because if you haven't seen it, that's your fucking fault.
Right.
So get it.
I forgot about it. I need to buy it on iTunes.
So, I mean, if you have to wait. If you're a physical copy type of person, you got to wait until September.
Which case, I wouldn't suggest it because
it's,
what's that other one called for digital that they have?
Voodoo.
No, it's not called Voodoo.
Oh, no, it's not Voodoo. That one's not Voodoo. It's
Voodoo is the service that you can also get it on.
It's that one. Yep.
Ultraviolet?
Yep. Ultraviolet,
yeah.
Because it's Warner Brothers, so.
Yeah.
They're all about Ultraviolet because fuck iTunes.
So you can go
buy it.
Not
a combo pack. It's literally like physical media and Ultraviolet. Not and Ultraviolet and iTunes. It's not one or the other. Both. Yeah. It's one. So, yeah, fuck that shit. I think that's it for news. I mean, there's other stuff. D23 had a bunch of stuff. Talked about Jungle Book.
We'll go into more details
when more stuff comes out.
More stuff comes out because it would be literally just a quick announcement of what they announced, and that's not enough.
Johnny Depp showed up in full costume and had a full-on conversation. Did you see a picture of him talking with Harrison Ford? Looked like a little kid. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he's full decked out as Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
And he's in there talking to Harrison Ford, and he's like, I was like, oh, mashup.
I really want to see that new Depp flick, too. What's that called?
Black Mass.
Oh, looks creepy, dude.
Whitey Bulger.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks fucking terrifying.
Watch that.
Yeah. Buy it.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's it. We gave you over an hour, you fucks.
Or you nice people who choose to listen to us.
I suffered through Wing Commander again. That's the second time I've seen
this
movie.
I had to sleep through lots of Wing Commander.
I hope that that you guys are happy with yourselves.
Yeah. You wanted it. You got
it.
We didn't want it.
We gave you what nobody asked for.
This guy over here with the beard.
Yeah, Mike.
With the bigger beard.
Chin beard.
A wanted beard that to goes watch
on
it.
The chin.
All right. That's this week's episode.
All right, guys. I guess that's it. Comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you just came naturally.
Yuck.